Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I am mad at you now. I don't care. No, you will.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Willard and Dibs.
Yep.
Crossover.
My man.
95.7 The Game.
Dibs, thanks for checking on me, man.
Yeah, I got you.
You and Grandy.
There you go, Willard.
Get ready. Wait, no, no. Do you want to know what that was? Wait, no.
Just me and Grandy?
And Evan and... Steiny sent a text, but it was work-related. Like, I get another day without you?
I walked the dog this morning. I walked the dog, and I'm not kidding. I swear on my mom, I'm like, I better text Guru or else he's going to get mad whenever he comes back that I didn't text him.
It's all, come on, I'm not that him. Guy.
I know, but I just knew. I knew. I'm like, I'm either going to be on the list or I'm not going to be
on the list.
And it's up to me. Do I want to be on the list or do I not want to be on the list? And then my dog pooped and I forgot. And
you had your bag, right?
Always.
Okay, that's great.
Always. Right. If I ever run out of bags, I literally mark the spot
and come back.
Right. Don't leave my dog's poop out in the world.
Yeah, I just wanted to shout out my guys. Go ahead,
No problem. If a coworker takes a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday off, like out of nowhere without me knowing about it, I'm going to try to reach out
because it's usually
not good. It's either an illness or something really bad or something else.
No COVID. That was the first thing that we had to check out.
Yeah, I appreciate you. You know, you sent that to me. And, you know, I'm super, whatever. I'm a little COVID concerned more so than other people. But I just want to reach out, make sure you're okay.
Can I give you, if you don't mind, even if you listen, just say yes, a review of the show thus far.
Oh, gosh. Weeds today?
Yes.
Literally for one of the few times ever, I have not heard one word.
I've not heard a word. In regard to the Kittle injury.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to make a correlation with last year, but for this conversation, I'll put last year in the rear view, and I have. But when that news broke of Brock Purdy out 2-5 possibly, along with Kittle, I don't even know who to blame. That's not even the word. But the theme of the show for me, when will it end? You got to be kidding me. You just gave both of them the bag. And after one game, a heroic game from Brock Purdy, that's the one that's really getting me. This show, no signs of getting hurt. And he does the John Wayne. He's out 2-5. I'm like, Dibs, I'm not looking for blood. It's just make it stop.
Yeah, I mean, it's different things where the George Kittle injury for me is a guy who just pulls the hammy, and he's going to be 32 next month.
But he looked great all offseason.
He did, and he looked great all first quarter. One whole quarter of looking great, and then I'm just running down the field, and I pop the hammy. The Brock one is, it's kind of a fluky football injury where he goes to get tackled late second quarter, and his foot gets caught underneath him, and his toe gets hyperextended, and that's just a football injury, and that's just the way it goes.
Pretty impressed that he played the entire second half with this injury.
Would have never known.
I know you said you don't want to use the word blame, so I'm not going to say that you're using the word blame, but I'm trying like hell. Listen, we had two people on earlier this week when everyone wanted to know, like, is there something that, whether it's blame, can we explain this? Where can we kind of tag our energy with regard to the injuries? Two offensive linemen who have played for Kyle Shanahan who are sitting here swearing, it's football, and it has nothing to do with that at all. And I don't know what to do with that other than to say, okay, you did this.
Just bad luck.
You put on uniforms, you played for Kyle, you're not mad at what you did in training camp or the physicality, like you did this, I have no choice but to take that as fact. And so I'm sort of releasing all kind of like searching for blame. But
it's maddening that we got to watch Mac Jones, who I think is a godsend in regard to what you could have.
I don't know that yet, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just.
No, I think this is brutal.
And Stoddy, before you go, the one thing that I'm going to miss, because it was sold to me by everybody at The Athletic, was the connection between Pearsall and Purdy. And then we see it on display week one, that first drive against the Raiders. That was preseason. It don't matter, but it does. And now, okay, that you got to hit the pause button on that. Like, I don't like that.
But you push the play button on Mac Jones and Tonjes, who have had a connection all preseason. Silver lining.
But Dibs,
49ers should have silver uniforms. There's so many silver linings involved in this.
Well, Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne, who have actually played together.
Oh, my gosh, exactly.
So there you go. And Mac Jones and Brian Robinson Jr., who actually played together at Alabama. So if you want to talk about connections, shout out the New York Times and their Daily Puzzle, then those are connections that are actually real.
Yeah.
Was Mac Jones, the 8 games that he played for Jacksonville last year, was it the last 8 games? Was that right? Was it that
simple? I want to say it was at the end. I think so.
He played the last.
Because Trevor Lawrence got hurt.
Right. So anyway, I was just looking because you brought up Pearsall. So what went to my head was, what did Brian Thomas Junior do with Mac last year?
Okay.
Like, can Mac get wide receivers involved?
He has an arm, yes.
Brian was fantastic. Last 5 games of the year, 8 for 86, 10 for 105, 9 for 132, 7 for 91, 7 for 103. That was
Brian Thomas.
Now,
with Jacksonville.
He's a star.
I got it.
He's a star, and Jags.
Jones at Bama, too.
Yeah, and the Jags are always losing. So, like, who cares? Huck it up. But, you know, Pearsall's allowed to live.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's a first-round pick. So, if he goes out there and he's unable to, I don't know, get open, it's one thing if he gets open and he doesn't get the ball because Mac Jones doesn't throw it to him. But you're a first-round pick. Go ahead and still eat, no matter who the quarterback is.
Can I ask you something about that?
You got 4 hours to ask me anything.
I know. Dibs and I have had a bunch of conversations about today and what we kind of want to do. And you keep bringing up he's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And I want to know the relevance of that now. Because, like, so
is Zach. For Ricky Pearsall?
For anyone. So is Zach Wilson. So is Trey Lance.
Right.
Why, like,
so is Solomon Thomas. So is Trey Lance. Right, we can play this game all the way you want.
He's clearly not worth the pick and the capital that was invested in him.
Who?
Mac Jones.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Pearsall.
We don't yet know that.
We do.
We don't.
But his third team already.
Like, Sam Darnold now, as a first-round pick, he is suddenly looked at better than he was 2 years ago.
But not at his draft status yet. You wouldn't take him third overall. Never.
But not yet.
He will
What if Seattle wins 3 Super Bowls with Sam Darnold?
Outside of that,
I mean, what are we talking about?
Unlikely possibility.
It's certainly unlikely, but the whole thing is the trajectory of a player, and everybody wants to write off James Wiseman and say he's a bust. Well, he was here. He could still go out and have an 11 or 12 year career.
You are patient.
I'm not patient. He's not my player, but if you're James Wiseman, you're not thinking, oh, boy, my career's over. I'm a bust.
No, that's not. Who cares what he's thinking? How many years before?
Well, let's go Darnold. Yeah. Let's go Darnold.
Okay.
What if last year, instead of losing, they would have won a couple playoff games?
Well, but they didn't.
I know, but they were 13-4.
He was very good. I still don't think the NFL would view him as the third pick in the draft.
But what I'm saying is, if you're saying he didn't, you're right. So what I'm saying is, if he had, that would elevate, that would, in the grand bustometer scale, that then moves him to less of a bust.
Well, sure. I think last year did that anyway.
I think making a playoff run might have done more of it.
Sam Darnold is not someone that I would say is a great example of the word bust.
No, I don't think he
was 2 years ago.
Yeah, well,
he was seeing ghosts.
Again, I'm going to meet you halfway. The fact that Mac is now playing for Kyle Shanahan, yes, he's allowed to play well. He might play well. They might win. There's all these might, but I also, we do have 52 game appearances, 49 starts, 4 years, and getting worse every year. His best year was his rookie year.
But his coordinators, he's had coaches going out left and right.
He's not a bum, but he's not a first-round draft pick.
I'm not going to sit here and disagree with that.
And Brock Purdy, that's like saying, well, Brock Purdy's a seventh-rounder. So what?
But
he's a great player now.
No, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I don't know enough about Mac Jones, his strengths, his weaknesses, who he's coached for.
Let a team maybe in the playoffs his rookie year.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he plays well in four games. He gets a contract from another team, and then all of a sudden he comes into his own. It's possible. Maybe.
But, Will, what if Purdy had to go through the coaches, and I mean this, that Mac had to, and Mac was with Kyle. I mean, I honestly believe that would change the fortune of who they are.
To a degree, of course it would.
So maybe on the back end, which, for Mac, and it's only five games or two, but – this is going to be, the easiest football he's ever played.
Let me ask you this real quick. So the five quarterbacks who were drafted that year round?
Justin Fields.
If we just did it all over again, should none of them have been first round picks? Like if you gave everybody a chance to redraft, would any team pick any of those five in the first round right now?
Trevor Lawrence would still be in the first round.
I'm throwing Justin Fields in for me.
I don't think so.
But notice it's the first round. It's one through 32.
He's already on his third team.
I didn't want Chicago.
And again, this is, to me, the part of the conversation we don't often have, which is the system. Mm, and for Justin Fields, part of it is systemic, where you go to a team that is broken, and he's now on, his third team and his fourth head coach. Yeah. And so he's still learning how to play in a system, let alone the same system. And I think about Alex Smith, who was number one overall, and he had seven coordinators in 7 years. And the team that he joined was mostly broken. And so a lot of this, we judge players based on where they land. Mac Jones landed in New England at the beginning of the end for Belichick, and he had Josh McDaniels as his coordinator. They went to the playoffs, and then McDaniels left, and the team got worse, and then Belichick was checking out. The team got worse. He got worse, and all the rest of it.
Oh, I'm not here to argue that, and Greg
Cosell. You ain't calling him a bum either.
No, Greg Cosell, we asked him. I asked him this question yesterday. Has Mac had around him what he needs? No, period. So, I'm not calling him a bum. However, in professional sports, what you're putting out there is what you're putting out there. Yeah. He has started, in the last 2 years, he has started 18 games. He's won four of them. So if we're going to blame that completely on his surroundings, well, then I would start to ask a question of, how do we pick and choose which quarterback we do this to? We're going to make excuses for the one who's 4-14 and say he doesn't have surroundings, but we're going to rip Brock Purdy because he has too many surroundings. At what point do we start putting a little accountability directly on the player? And it's shared.
And he hadn't been perfect.
No, it's shared. Of course it's shared. And yes, maybe he'll look great.
But what concerns me about this Sunday is offensive line. If they turn in a performance like they did against Seattle, who's got a front seven, they can play with a guy that's not as mobile, and that's why I disagree with Greg. He goes, stylistically, they're the same, but he's not as mobile. I'm like, well, then stylistically, they're not the same.
You're pointing to what to me is the biggest issue right here. Mac can't move.
He would have been sacked four or five times against Seattle.
At least.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. However, if he had been playing against Seattle, maybe Kyle has plays that involve quicker throws and all that. I got to believe the game plan for Purdy will not be, or I'm sorry, for Mac Jones will be exactly like it would be for Purdy, right?
Well, it's going to be different because you don't have George Kittle.
Well, that's true.
We don't know about Juwan Jennings either. And, his status will determine a lot of what you try to do. And will Kendrick Bourne be up? And a lot of things, I think, play into what the game plan will be. I would imagine there'll be fewer rollouts or sprint out types of plays because Mac Jones doesn't move quite as well. There'll probably be a lot more of the quick throws. And, if you thought that McCaffrey's 31 touches were a lot last week, buckle up. You might see the same sort of workload again.
I hope not. But yeah, that's the bigger point, I think, for Mac Jones is the rest of the 49ers. Whatever it is that you're doing on special teams for the last decade, if I had any wish that for the next month, please stop. Just stop whatever you're doing and please do it better. The great news is the defense looked good quickly, pretty good.
I was shocked.
That's what Mac is going to need. Mac's going to need a football team. Mm. This is not 31-10. whatever the hell y'all think about the Saints, and I don't know why so many people are focused on the Saints. You can beat the Saints without Purdy. This isn't about the Saints. They said 2 to 5 weeks. You have two more division games in the month of September. He has got to get back as quickly as possible, or the season is on the brink. That's how it works in the NFL when you lose your franchise quarterback.
Running back, like you did last year.
And for the 18th time this week, when I saw this news today, I thanked the world again that they won last week. I don't know where the hell mentally this team would be if they had lost that game last week.
Oh, man.
And then get this news.
I mean, the way I look at it is this is everything you always plan for in a way. When we always talk about backup quarterbacks, everybody knows if you got to play them 8 or 10 games, you're in trouble. But what about, we always say, what about two, three, or four games? Can they get you to survive? Can they win a couple games? And he's now in that position. Like, he's in the quintessential backup position. All right, now let's take it from there. Who do they play? Well, they're at New Orleans. Then they come home for their opener. Then they play the Jaguars. And I'm like,
could be an improved Jaguar team, Steiny.
Like, that's right, but can he go 1-2? He goes 1-2. You're 2-2, and now you're getting
Can they go one and two?
Exactly, but when we look at it in the context of a backup quarterback, we always say, can he, you know.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Help us win a couple games. He's got to win one, or obviously two would be gravy, but like these, we all knew this was a possibility.
He's quarterbacked 52 games in the league, dude.
Yep, 49 starts. Mark is highlighting his 4-14 record the last 2 years. The teams on which he played the last 2 years when he didn't play were 4-12. So
yeah, no, they're not good.
He was basically as bad as the teams on which he
product
played.
Product of his environment.
So would you take and two right now if he misses three games?
No,
I wouldn't either.
Absolutely
I'm with
not.
I mean, I get what the way you're asking that is sort of like, are we expecting it? Would I take it? It's kind of like anti-fan to say that I would take 1-2. Would it surprise me? Hell no. Like when people go, "What are your expectations?" I have none.
Wow, Will,
none. I don't know how.
So you ain't saying this Sunday's a gimme?
No, of course not. Well, they're a 3-point favorite on the road. The guys on the other team are in the NFL. We do this. We're like, oh, but Spencer Rattler, right? And we got Mac Jones. Ooh. Like, what is this? There's no Kittle. There's no like. I don't even know who's starting at receiver. I don't even know. Like, why would you think this is a given?
I don't, like, I can't stand that. Anybody who's watched football for more than 5 minutes knows that there's no such thing as a given. It isn't. It's not there. Nothing.
Real quick, Sonny, why did you play the schedule game and say, oh, it's going to be da-da-da-da-da?
Because it still is the New Orleans Saints, which gives you a better opportunity to win the game on its own merit. Rather than if you were playing the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bank, like 20 other teams. So that's where we're starting. That's all I'm saying. Mm. And it's the 49ers. And this is also where Kyle Shanahan comes in. Because if you don't like Kyle Shanahan, that's fine. But when I think of Kyle Shanahan, yes, I do think, you know what, though? He's the kind of coach that'll figure out a way to weasel out a couple wins with Mac Jones. Like, that's what I think, because I think he's a good coach.
I mean, the Saints just played against a fully healthy Arizona Cardinals.
I watched
it. It's a one-score football game. Yeah. And that's what they had their franchise quarterback. And they had all of their people playing. They had McBride. They had Harrison. They had all their... So, like, why... That's all I'm saying. Of course, the Niners
is on the road.
The Niners might win Sunday, but this blasé, Saints.
I don't get it.
I just don't. I don't feel it. So why don't you put
a billion on your survivor pool then?
I don't think the Niners
have clearly.
Oh, they're the last team.
Outclassing the Saints.
Like, I don't sense people are blasé.
I do.
Okay.
I really, this week.
And it's down to three, Stoney, if you're into the gambling stuff. Like, it went from seven.
Well, yeah.
Like,
yes,
confidence is waning.
Game's gotten tougher. No doubt about it. Mm. I mean, it's not the way you draw it up.
Yeah, I looked at the look-ahead line for next week, and they're favored against Arizona as of right now. 2.5 is so they're
and this performance will have a lot to do.
This came out a few hours ago. So, and to your point, Steiny, last week favorites were 12-4, not against the spread, but straight up.
Yep.
So four teams that were underdogs actually won the game outright. So no underdog is ever out of it. No game is ever a slam dunk, sure thing, and. You know, fans can be blasé, and I'm not blasé. I think that they're going to win the game, but I don't think the 49ers are going to be blasé about it.
Right.
To your point about would I take 1-2 with Mac Jones? Absolutely not. You should beat New Orleans even with Mac Jones. Yeah. Then you've got two home games. You should be able to split those at the least, even if Brock Purdy's not playing.
Go ahead.
I mean, well, here's... There's an unknown part of this, and that is the eye test. Like, if they go down to New Orleans and the offense is just like, oh my God, they had, you know, three sacks, you know, they look non-functional. Well, then at that point, you got to say, what happened? But, like, I'm anticipating scoring to be more difficult. Like, it's going to probably be a grind, right? It might be a 17-13 game again.
You would think.
And the way I look at it is, if you come out of there with a 16-13 win, it's like, great. You won a game with your backup quarterback, and now you're 2-0.
By the way, you also just described why the 49ers had absolutely no choice but to switch kickers right now.
And
you cannot.
I was out.
You got all your apology. You give up 3 points.
Okay, but how are we so sure? And I asked Stoney about a leash in regard to Pinero. I'm asking, and I mean it, because I have no earthly idea what's the leash look like for him.
Well, probably more than a week.
So, Willard, when you say well, and you're saying, well,
if you look at his career, he's the fourth most accurate or third most accurate kicker. Ever. Well, it depends on how you want to do the rounding of the decimals.
Whatever. He's up there. He's top five.
Either way, he's close to 89%.
So he ain't one and done.
Inside of 50 yards.
Okay.
And that's going to be the key is when you have a 50 or more yard kick, is Kyle going to go for it? Because that's not where Pinero has his strength. But I think he gets more than a week is what I'm saying.
I actually think on some level, he should, unless he is terrible from the get-go, I'd almost give him the rest of the year. He's been in the league before. He's had success before.
But that's a long leash.
It's not like if he misses a kick, we're going to have this conversation yet. But like,
what if it were two kicks or a game winner from 45 yards?
And then we got
Bringing kickers back in to try out to get like.
To me, I just look at the
people
whole.
People act like that's over. The circus is out of town. Just in regard to the kicking component to this team.
I mean, he's never done anything like that in his career. Especially like this week's in a dome. This is a great landing spot for him. You know, there's no elements to deal with. I don't know why that would happen, but if it did, I don't know. To me,
you got
to
keep going. Like, see ya.
Special teams as a group, everything's on the table every week right now. They have got to be a better unit on special teams. I don't like it's quirky and just outlandish right now how bad they've been.
Hey, real quick, I got to run here, but Guru had, he took a little bit of an exception to you yesterday. I told him what you were saying about kickers aren't teammates.
Oh, yeah. Well, that hurt me.
I want you guys to finish the conversation on 95.7 The Game.
You can't finish the conversation if you close the segment.
And then you bring it up and you got to stay.
If you want to leave, just leave, but don't say 95.7 The Game because then they can start playing music.
No, he can...
I know, so don't say the station.
For me.
You can go.
Where are you going?
That's all I care about.
Yeah, so don't say
the
station.
We'll get into it tomorrow. We'll get into it tomorrow.
Granted, didn't bite.
What I said was...
My energy's low, guys.
Teammates, the NFL players don't see them as teammates. It doesn't matter what I think. I've never been on an NFL team.
No, and that's what my point was.
Ephraim said it They'll tell you.
And that's what I'm afraid to bring up.
How many NFL players do you want me to bring up who've said this?
I treat the janitor just like I treat the CEO.
Ephraim said
he was the one who was on the show that day.
Hey, before you sign off.
But it is funny how you... kickers aren't teammates because Willard said it.
Not saying that. Had Kyle finessed this and treated the kicker like a part of his team, because it was mental, who's to say he's not making the kicks and still on the team?
Say that again?
Kyle said he didn't talk to kickers. It was obviously a mental issue with Moody, and I was justifying or clamoring for him to just go for lasagna. Come over for some Getty.
I still think
And let's watch Netflix and let's have a conversation.
Why would you have a conversation if you're going to watch Netflix?
Well, come on. You know what I mean. We'll get to the gritty.
I love
Al Pacino and Jamie Foxx in any given Sunday. Shout out Gilligan.
All right, guys, take it from here. 95.7 The Game.
Now you can see.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.